at that time, LA Care was set up, you know, pretty much in order to serve those folks who were on Medi-Cal, which at the time were a lot of women who were pregnant and the babies and, you know, folks who really didn't have a lot of services. But generally speaking, at that time, it was far fewer people. You know, we hadn't gone through Affordable Care Act and we didn't get Medicaid expansion. So it was far fewer.
And welcome to Pop Health Podcast. This is Gavin Ward, co-host of Pop Health Podcast. In today's episode, I sat down with someone who used to be referred to as Dr. Groovy, but her real name is Dr. Katrina Miller. Dr. Miller is LA Care Health Plan's Chief Quality and Information Executive, and she talks about how LA Care, which serves 2.1 million members in LA County alone, serves such a diverse patient population where 40% of the 2.1 million members prefer to speak in a language other than English when discussing their medical care. Dr. Miller shares how data and information is helping drive LA Care forward, but there's still quite a bit of challenges with gathering data and information for both patients and providers alike. We hope you enjoyed today's show, and if you do, feel free to leave a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or now Spotify as well. Thanks, everyone, and enjoy the show. So, Dr. Miller, tell us something about you that might surprise the audience, maybe something outside of the workplace.
Well, the first thing I would start off by saying is that I'm a family physician, and I also have a boarding in clinical informatics, so that's a little bit unusual for being a family physician, a second boarding. But also, I actually happen to be in internet radio in my past, so I was in college radio, and I ran my college radio station, and since I've been living in Los Angeles, I've actually done two different internet radio stations. And I've been a DJ, and for a while I was even known as Dr. Groovy on those shows.
Wow. And which college, may I ask, that you went to?
Reed College in Portland, Oregon.
Okay. Do you know who the Portland Timbers are, out of curiosity?
Oh, shoot. No, I don't.
That's okay. Big soccer team. I was talking with Penny Griego, who helped set this up here at LA Care earlier. As we're recording, it's World Cup season.
I should know that, shouldn't I?
Pretty common for Americans, no worries. Very good. Well, thanks for sharing the very cool fun fact about your radio experience.
Yes.
And internet radio.
And I'm very impressed with what you're doing with your podcast, because I know how much goes into it, how much time it takes to create it and edit it and post it and all of that. So good on y'all.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Mm-hmm. Miller. So going back, I talked about or asked about your college. Tell us a little bit about your background. Could start as soon as maybe where you grew up and kind of your path into healthcare.
So I grew up in Washington, D.C. And the interesting thing is my mother was a nurse at Georgetown Hospital. And my father was actually in government. He ran the Federal Trade Commission and the Office of Management and Budget. So we had a lot going on in terms of the politics within our house. But like I said, my mother was a nurse in pediatric oncology.
Okay.
And that's really where I got my first dose of, you know, what it was like to be in healthcare. And I just always loved the idea of helping people out. And when I was in elementary school, I used to run around on the playground and pick people up who had fallen off the slide or fallen on the asphalt and literally pick them up and run them into the nurse's office, being like the elementary school paramedic.
Wow.
So I think that's kind of where it got started. And after that, I was just, you know, in all of the first aid classes. I was a lifeguard doing, you know, basic life support and all of that, and always wanted to help people in some kind of a way. But I was also so interested in human physiology. So while I was in college at Reed College in Portland, Oregon, my thesis was actually focused on the biosynthetic pathway of the sea slug aplysia to try to understand how long-term potentiation, or how we learn from a cellular basis, how that was working.
Oh yeah, that's very clear.
So I loved doing that, and I loved neurophysiology, and it was really great working with, you know, the sea slug, but I really wanted to get into human physiology.
Okay.
So that's what led me to go into medical school and, of course, do all that I did there and become who I was as a family physician. But then while I was doing family medicine, part of what was really striking and difficult for me was the fact that I would feel like a broken record saying the same thing every day to people when we're talking about metabolic syndrome and, you know, you've got to lose weight and here are your diabetes medications and the blood pressure's still too high. And, you know, we've got to work on the same things with, you know, different people, different ways, but basically the same thing. It made me wonder how I could affect more people at once. And I really wanted to get to that group or larger system or larger population-based effect on people. And I just had to figure out how to get there. So I was working with Adventist Health at the time, and they knew that I had done radio and I had been pretty good in terms of managing meetings and managing physicians and things like this. So when Adventist Health West was transitioning from paper charts to computerized physician order entry and the usage of EMRs, they asked me to be their physician champion. And so I did. And we did go lives for 19 hospitals for computerized physician order entry, or CPOE. And I ran the physician advisory group and the provider order set team and developed specialty teams where we developed order sets. But that's really where I got my dose of clinical informatics.
Okay.
So I became the medical director for clinical information systems, went on to get the clinical informatics boarding, and then came here as medical director for informatics, and now am chief for quality and information systems.
Okay, and you've been at LA Care for about 3 years.
Correct.
So before we get into kind of more about your role, can you tell us what LA Care is and maybe the history behind LA Care?
Sure. So LA Care Health Plan was set up by the state back in 1997 to provide Medi-Cal coverage to the vulnerable residents, especially of Los Angeles County. And it was set up as a one of a two-plan system. So basically, there would be LA Care and another private type health plan that would service the Medi-Cal members for Los Angeles County.
Okay.
And so at that time, LA Care was set up, you know, pretty much in order to serve those folks who were on Medi-Cal, which at the time were a lot of women who were pregnant and the babies and, you know, folks who really didn't have a lot of services. But generally speaking, at that time, it was far fewer people. You know, we hadn't gone through Affordable Care Act and we didn't get Medicaid expansion. So it was far fewer. It was a smaller focus. And at the time, LA Care was set up to manage the funds that were coming in from the state and had help from our plan partners.
Okay.
And we still have three plan partners now. We have Anthem Blue Cross, CareFirst, and Kaiser that still help us service all the Medi-Cal members. But of course, since Medicaid expansion happened and LA Care has grown so much, we've gone from basically hundreds of thousands of members to about 2.1 million members. And so definitely we have a lot of help from our plan partners, from our medical groups who are also our IPAs, and then all of the different programs and services that we work with. So a lot going on with LA Care.
Wow. So 2.1 million members, and that's throughout LA County only?
It is LA County only. Now, we do serve our members no matter where they go. So
okay.
If they go outside of LA County, we're still going to make sure that we're managing their care.
Okay.
It's just a little harder to get the information in our door, but we're still going to work with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow. So that's a huge percentage of the population just here in LA County where we're recording. So I know your patient population are Medi-Cal beneficiaries. Can you share with us a little bit more about maybe the demographics of your patient population outside of Medi-Cal?
Sure. And not only that, I'll also add that we don't just service Medi-Cal. So
okay.
Medi-Cal or Medicaid in the rest of the country is definitely the largest part of our member population. But we also have a program called Cal MediConnect. So
okay.
That's for folks who have the benefits from Medicare and Medicaid. And we have a program that is managed for both of them to work together. So it's not just about having, you know, the benefits from both, but it's really about making sure the members understand how to get the most out of their benefits because of the coordination that we do.
Okay.
And then as we were talking about a little bit before, along with the Affordable Care Act also came the exchange. So for those folks who make a little bit more money than what you would make for if you were on Medicaid or Medi-Cal, if you're just above that level but still not making enough to get regular insurance, you can get an exchange program. And ours is called LA Care Covered.
Okay.
And so, and we've had a great expansion in that product line in the past year. So we're really doing a lot to focus on how we get member benefits optimized for those folks, especially now that we have so many more folks to service on that line.
Okay, so let's say I was an individual, I work, I'm healthy, but I want to look for my own insurance. Mm-hmm. I can go on the California Exchange still?
Or? Covered California.
Okay.
Yeah. And exactly. So basically you could go on there and put in your income information and you would be able to understand not only that would be the right coverage for you, but which level of coverage. So there are these metal tiers.
Right.
And so based on how much money you make and how much money you would want to put in, then you can decide which tier is right for you. It also, you know, would determine the level of your deductible, kind of a thing.
Yeah, makes sense. Very good.
Yep.
I purchased insurance for my kids a couple years ago on the exchange, so it's bringing back some memories here.
There you go.
Very good. So what about, I'm not sure if you have the information with you, but things like age, ethnicities, languages. Can you talk a little bit about that with your patient population?
Sure. So, very similar to Los Angeles County, the largest part of our population is Latino.
Okay.
And so that makes up over half, 53% of our population is Latino. And then 16% are Caucasian, and then 11% African American. And then less than 10% would be Asian.
Okay.
But you have to remember that those are really general categories.
Yeah.
And of course, when we're talking about how you really want to, tailor those models of care specifically for culture and ethnicity, we're not just talking about those categories. There's so much in between. So that's our basic rundown. And then actually more than 40% of our members prefer a language other than English. And for about 30%, that's actually Spanish, which also makes a lot of sense for where we are in LA County.
Okay, very good. Well, thanks for the breakdown.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about the, and I know for 2.1 million members, this might be big question. There's probably a lot you can explain, but can you tell us maybe in a nutshell about the structure and governance of LA Care?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So LA Care, I just want to also mention here in LA, downtown LA, we have two buildings worth of people at this point. So again, when you talk to the folks who worked with LA Care, 20 years ago, it's probably a floor on a building.
Okay.
And now it's two buildings worth of people.
Wow.
But anyway, our governance structure is that we are governed by board members that are selected as representatives from the county in particular ways. So we have members who represent for consumers, for physicians, for the federally qualified healthcare centers, FQHCs, children's healthcare providers, local hospitals, and then the Los Angeles Department of Healthcare Services, or Los Angeles DHS. So it's really a good mix of the community and the folks who are also very interested in making sure that we have a safety net for the most vulnerable folks in LA, and that's who we're focusing on. So, I really love the fact that we're getting that input from the people who are really on the ground providing these services, and they're the ones driving what we do. We're not making up these decisions on our own. They're the ones telling us. So,
okay, great explanation. Setup. Thank you. And can you tell us a little bit about the resources and services that might be available to someone outside of Medi-Cal or managed Medi-Cal?
Outside of?
Yes.
Okay. So basically, we do have all of the services that you would get in basically regular Medicaid. So, your physician services and specialty services, getting into the hospital if you have to go to the emergency room. But what you get when we're talking about managed Medicaid, and I'll just talk about that, Medi-Cal portion for right now, is that we're also trying to focus on population health and holistic health. So we want to make sure that we're covering all of the bases for what any one of our members could need. And that could be a member just born, a member who's end of life care, and anything in between. So we want to make sure that we're covering every step of what they need along the way, even if we don't necessarily cover it or we're not the entity covering it.
Okay.
So for instance, dental care would be one example of that. So we know how you can get your dental care covered. We're going to give you that information, but it's sort of a little outside of what LA Care proper would be doing.
Okay.
So the focus on managed Medicaid is just making sure that we make sure our members get every kind of service they need. And it doesn't matter if we're the ones primarily providing it. We're going to make sure that you get connected to that service in the right way.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And I'm going to actually rephrase the question.
Mm-hmm.
So
I know that, and this is with Medicare too, if someone has maybe straight Medicare or straight Medi-Cal, there's defined services available. But mm-hmm. I was under the impression when you get to managed Medi-Cal, mm-hmm. there could be more flexibility versus straight Medi-Cal. Am I getting that right?
No, that's correct.
Yeah,
and that's kind of what I was just talking about. So basically, you know, Medicaid as sort of a federal group of benefits would be one set of benefits. But when we're talking about California, Medi-Cal, there are also certain benefits that are provided because California said we needed to provide them.
Okay.
Now, some of those benefits are provided directly by the state, not necessarily by LA Care Health Plan or the health plans within the state, but we're going to help manage getting our members to those services.
Got it.
Right. Okay. So again, dental care would be an example. Mental health services would be an example. Very expensive drugs would be an example. So when we have hemophiliacs who need their certain blood factors, that would be something that the state provides, but we would make sure to manage the care so that member gets what they need.
Okay, mm-hmm. Great. Thank you. How about quality? So let's kind of get closer to informatics, analysis, data. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me how you define quality here at LA Care and what systems you have in place to numbers or make that clear?
So what we're doing here with our quality program or our quality improvement program is always trying to take a look at all of the various ways that we are delivering the benefits that we have available or the ones that we have access to. So again, in that managed care kind of idea, what we can get access to, and making sure that we are always objectively and systematically monitoring those programs to make sure that the members are getting what they need, the members are actually getting better, and if we can do anything to improve the process of how that's happening, if we have any say in it, we're going to do it. So basically, it's just taking a look at all of the things that we're providing and doing as LA Care or have some kind of connection to, and making sure that we have the most efficient way to get the information or data in to be able to run these kinds of reports and impact analyses to make sure that we can always improve it and then do the improvements. Okay. So all of that would be part of quality improvement here at LA Care.
I'm going to talk about physicians and data.
Mm-hmm.
In my experience, or maybe not just physicians, but providers.
Mm-hmm.
LA Care serving over 2 million members.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of providers, whether it's a physician or other healthcare professionals delivering the care
right. And
needing to input certain data so that way you can measure quality and make change if needed.
Right.
How do you get so many providers to do what you need them to do? That sounds like a huge challenge to me.
That is certainly a huge challenge. And we're always working on it. So let's start with, offices that have paper charts.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Paper charts. Still folks out there who do paper charts, especially in our network, we have to figure out a way to get the data in from them. So that could be faxing some of those medical records to us. That could be we go out to their office, make copies of it, bring it back. We scan it in. We save it. That's still happening.
Okay.
So then we progress with meaningful use. Thank goodness we actually did progress to probably about 75% to 80% of our network is on electronic medical records,
yeah.
EMRs. And so we can get data in a different way from them, but it's still not easy.
Yeah.
So, you know, generally speaking, what we're getting from either our IPAs, our medical service organizations, the MSOs, our plan partners, our encounter or claim data, okay? So it's a representation of services that were provided that we can pull out of the EMR, but it's not medical record data. It just represents what they did. And it's never what we really hope it could be.
Yeah.
It does not reflect enough of the detail that we really need to know, but that's really all we have available right now.
Okay.
So we can get that through electronic pathways, which is great. Sometimes we have to get it through files that are brought in through what we call a supplemental data pathway.
Okay.
but we're going to get it any way we can. So we basically duplicate efforts and have some of our claims and encounters coming in on this electronic pathway, some of it coming in through files, some of it coming through other things like medical record data straight up. And we just try to get it no matter what the way is. And so right now, we're probably doing triple the work we should be to try to get the information in the door. But we're doing it because that way we get as much data as we can for when we have to generate our rates and reporting to represent our clinical quality. Okay. Hopefully that'll get better in the future. Health information exchanges, you know, it's doing so well in other states. In California, it's still, you know, trying to get up and running. And the same thing with LA Care. So we actually call our program our health information ecosystem program, because we're not just going to be working with one HIE. We're going to be working with multiple and we're implementing them all to try to see, you know, if we could get this amount of information from this one and that amount of information from the second and on with the third, and try to fill in as much data as possible through that much faster near real-time HL7 formatted process.
HL7.
Yeah.
What is that?
So that is the formatting language for a health information exchange.
Okay.
So it basically describes the type of data and the elements of data that come in through, again, a different form of electronic transmission that would be coming from a provider, say EMR, and coming to the health information exchange.
Okay.
And then we as a participant in the HIE would be able to pull specific pieces of information out of the HIE.
Okay. Great. Wow. A lot of technical stuff there. A lot of big stuff.
Yes. And still not enough. I want more.
Very good. Well, let's shift a little bit away from the technical side and talk about serving a diverse patient population. So with all the variety in patients that you see, how can you better serve your population in the years to come? And this is generally speaking, could be a health plan that has not as diverse of a population, but what efforts are underway to better reach your folks and allow them to access the care that they need.
Yeah. And we have a lot of work going on in that area. And it starts with what I was just talking about, getting enough data in the door to represent correctly that diverse population. So we were just talking about things like ethnicity or language, but also we could be talking about things like where do they live and what kind of access to services do they have. So those social determinants of health that we need to understand what is not just clinically relevant, but what is life relevant. We need to know that kind of information. So we're doing a lot of work to try to bring in that data so we can correctly identify the diverse population. And then once we understand the diversity within the population, we want to know how it affects that clinical experience for all of our members. So do we have a population that, for instance, is not going to see their primary care physician ever? Well, let's try to identify that, see why, see what we can do about it, initiate a program where we can try to improve that, test the program to see if it worked, and then move on from there. So when we talk about, once we identify the population, we are also looking at the disparities that we have with those certain population based on those clinical, based on the clinical care. And that's what we focus on in terms of trying to manage the population health in the right way. Okay. So we have certain populations, they're getting the services or the preventive care they need, others aren't. We need to identify them and try to improve that situation.
Okay. So I want to, touching on that, something self-care or engagement, right, in care.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I've heard over the years is folks who can't see a provider in their own language or isn't culturally aware of a patient's background or situation, they're just not going to be as comfortable engaging in care because the provider just doesn't get it or doesn't understand the background. So have you seen those type of challenges as well here with LA Care? And have there been any success stories where you were able to find enough providers? For Spanish speaking, for example, like, is there enough out there?
Yeah, I think, first of all, the key to that is not always thinking about, are there enough providers that do this?
Okay.
But how many ways can we provide the services that are needed? So yes, we focus on that a ton. And we are National Committee for Quality Assurance, NCQA, certified for multicultural. We have the multicultural distinction.
Okay.
And, you know, there's a lot that goes into that. And again, identifying identifying the members that need extra services, translation or interpretation services. We also have many education programs on cultural sensitivity and how you would interact with different cultural backgrounds. So we focus a great deal on that, and we try to make sure that our groups and our providers have all of that information, that they get the training they need so they are as aware as possible.
Okay.
And then part of what we also do are survey our members and see how they feel about the services they received. And so if they identify on surveys that are certain areas like the interaction with their provider or the offices, then we will also focus on those areas with those particular groups or providers to try to say, hey, we noticed that, you know, you weren't doing so well in this area. Let's try to figure out some ways we can help you and provide them the education and training on how to do that.
Okay. Cool. Mm-hmm. So there was some news that came out today, actually, as we record, about reimbursement for some services in the home going up 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Governor Brown signed that for home, I believe it's home health services. And one of the challenges that I've heard out there is some providers may not opt in to serve certain patients, maybe Medi-Cal patients, because of the reimbursement. And I'm curious if you're aware of any initiatives underway of increased reimbursement.
So LA Care, we work in a system where we provide capitated rates to most of the folks we're working with. It's really not fee for service.
Got it.
So when we're talking about increases of rates, the increases of rates that would affect us at LA Care would be basically if CMS is changing some Medicare rates or if the state is changing the rates for Medi-Cal.
Okay, got
That's
it.
Generally more where it would affect us.
Okay.
But that being said, we are also looking at those various ways that the providers are getting paid, because if they do have changes relative to the capitation we pay them, of course that's going to affect us.
Yeah.
And part of, you know, a big problem for Medicaid nationally and Medicare nationally, of course, are rates that are far too low. And so, you know, we still need to bring them up, and that is just the entire range of providers. So whenever we hear that there are increases in rates to providers, generally speaking, we're pretty supportive of that, because we think that any improvement on rates for any type of provider is really a benefit for the industry, generally speaking. And definitely home care workers, I mean, come on, they do such tough work.
Yeah.
And they really deserve anything they can get. And honestly, I was hearing that maybe they're not, the actual worker might not be receiving as much of that rate increase as hopefully we would hope they would. So we'll see about what happens with that. But
yeah.
Also, I'll throw in, I forgot to mention that we actually are the health plan for PASC SEIU, which is the Union of Home Care Workers in Los Angeles County. So we care very much about what's going on with them. And not only that, we actually train them in a very particular way to know more about what they are doing to provide those home care services so they can be safe and effective and hopefully even feel more empowered to not only do their everyday job, but to advocate for themselves on topics like this.
Very good. One of my best friends and best man at my wedding, his wife is actually a caregiver through the union that you help oversee.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not overly familiar with it, but definitely familiar with it. And it's cool to see her have the opportunity to serve others and the state support that, which is neat. And LA Care support that. So can you tell me a little bit about LA Care's population health department?
Yes. So it's not a department.
Okay. Sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's basically, it's an effort that is a cross-functional effort.
Okay.
So it's not just about one department. And yes, I oversee the process. I'm the quote business owner.
Okay.
But basically what we're trying to do is pull together in a more efficient way things we've already been doing, right?
Okay.
I mean, we've already been pulling in data to understand our population better, to be able to make sure that we understand who they are in terms of all of these demographic issues, any kind of risk stratification that we can do to understand that they have had certain events in their past that lead to our wanting to service them a little bit faster or with a little bit more attention, so we can make sure they get the care they need faster or in a more complex manner. And then, again, just making sure that our programs service what we need. So if we see in our population, asthma is a huge issue, we need to address that with a program that specifically will address the asthmatics that we have in our population. kids are going to be a little bit different from adults, and we need to have a program that is a good program for both of those. And same thing for CHF, for sepsis, for transplant patients. So we have to be able to understand who in our population needs what services and, you know, understand exactly who are the most in need. We start with those and then we go on down the line. So our population health program is really just pulling all of that together.
Okay.
So basically, we've had the chance to create our strategy. So we really have a white paper that really reflects what we think are the guiding principles of why we are doing population health. And again, it ties right back to our LA Care vision and mission for making sure that we service the safety net here in Los Angeles County. But then also just being more explicit about all of those steps of identification, stratification, program identification, making sure that we review all of those programs and they're working correctly, making sure we have information on each individual member that reflects all of those services that we're doing for them, clinical care gaps, anything that we can do at any point in time to make sure that we give them the care they need or the information they need. And then it all is a cycle, okay, going back up to getting that new data in the door and making sure that we re-stratify and re-identify on and on and on.
Wow. That's a lot to do there. But like you said, you're already doing it. It's that's very good.
It's just been separated, you know?
Yeah.
You know, people say that especially large health plans can be in silos.
Correct.
And so it has been so siloed here in terms of case management doing one thing and utilization management doing something else, social work doing something else, and never, you know, will they meet. But now we have a cross-functional team where we have representation from all of these areas and we bring them together and we say, how can we work better together?
Yeah.
We know that case management, UM, disease management, you all are working on this same transitions of care. How can we do that together and have better communication, better documentation, and a better program for our members?
Absolutely. In my day-to-day work, our theme for the year is one team, because we're not as big as LA Care, but we have those different departments, and we got to remember, how do we all connect? How do we all have more efficiency, do better work, have better outcomes? So I like that you have a focused effort on that. Mm-hmm. So you guys are at 2.1 million members today, doing a lot, trying to not build a population health department per se, but a stronger strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, if you had a crystal ball 5 years from now, where do you see LA Care? Will it be any different besides maybe more organized? Will you have more members? Anything you're able to share there?
Sure. I do think we will have more members. I think we'll probably have more staff. But also, what I see is that we will have a very efficient system that our members really love to work with.
Okay.
When we ask our members, how do you feel about working with LA Care? They say, we love LA Care.
Yeah.
And we have basically a brand right now, which are these wings, and it's all about elevate.
Yeah.
And we want them to feel elevated by our services to them. And so in 5 years, I think we are going to be doing that in a far more efficient manner and in a far more media savvy and accessible manner. We're going to have more that you can get online, more that you can get on your phone, more, I would say, proactive or preemptive information. So before you even know that you're late to get your mammogram or you need to get your flu shot, you're getting information from us on how to do it and where to go. And that we're getting our data in the door as fast as we can and as efficiently as we can. So all of those processes I was just talking about are done in the most efficient way possible. And then I want to be able to see it all in terms of any kind of visualization and be able to show it to anyone from the board to the CEO to a member of our community action committee. And so any of our members can even see the information and understand what we're talking about.
Very good. Well, I know in 5 years, we'll probably have 5G and be able to pull a lot things a lot quicker.
Yes.
Too. So when you're saying access it, probably be there.
A lot more data, a lot faster.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Katrina Miller, you've been a great guest today. Thank you for sharing a little bit about your background and about LA Care here. Quick shout out to Penny Griego, who helped put this together. Penny Griego runs media relations for LA Care. And for those of you that are like me, that name sounded familiar. I hadn't met Penny until today, to be candid, but I knew the name. And for those of you that listen to radio in the past and also watch CBS Evening News, CBS Channel 2, Penny's here in the room listening. I'll probably keep this in the show. Yeah, she was an anchor there. She was on KFWB, and I used to listen to it all the time. I teased my dad growing up that AM radio was boring. And I was a kid. I wanted to listen to like music and all that. But now I'm 38. I loved it. So when I met her, I'm like, oh my gosh, you're the lady I used to listen to all the time. Really cool. So it's a privilege to be here. Penny again's in the room listening. Thank you. Thanks to Brandy as well, who helped coordinate this, who worked closely with Dr. Katrina Miller. Thanks for having us. And folks, to learn more about LA Care, please check out the website.
LACare.org.
Very good. And open enrollment is coming up. So feel free to take a look on the exchange.
Definitely. Check out LACare.org for all of the information you need, but it will send you to whatever page or website you need.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks again, Dr. Miller. It's been a privilege. Folks, if you've enjoyed today's show, please feel free to check out pophealthpodcast.com for other guests. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher. And if you like the show, please leave a review either on Stitcher or on iTunes. Thanks, everybody. Take care.